Christian Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So we see again and again that this is true, that we are in a warfare. We're part of the armies. We're not coming to fight. We are coming to observe and be admired as those He leads in triumph, as being delivered ourselves. I told you this in Sunday school. The Bible says in Obadiah 1:21, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." That's how that book ends, because it's all about Edom, but it projects to the end days. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Who are the saviors? The Bible says He's made us a kingdom and priests unto our God. We're going to come back and rule and reign with Him. The Bible says in verse 27 in Nehemiah 9 that God in His mercy sent them a manifold mercies and gave them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Talking about the judges that came. You know, your job is to be a savior, not like Jesus, but for Jesus. You take Jesus and you cast Him to other people, and thus you get rewards. Lord, I was given 5 talents. Here's 5 back. Well done. You see, you got 3 talents, here's 3 talents. I got 3 back. Well done. Listen, the reason the church sometimes doesn't bust at the seams, and I'm convinced of this, is because I tell one note. I'm telling you the one note. The note of the Christian life is Jesus. And it's about Jesus. And it's about telling other people about Jesus. And it's about bringing more people to Jesus. And on it goes. I've got one message. And the whole Bible is that one message. That's why I can go to Isaiah, and I go to Zechariah, and I go to all these places, because we are supposed to be out there winning people to Jesus. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." We help people see Jesus and get to live forever. The Bible says that these armies come that were in heaven, they followed Him in verse 14, and they were clothed in fine linen. Verse 15 says, "And out of His mouth went a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He should rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress." There we got connected back to Isaiah 63. Tread out the winepress alone. This is what we saw back earlier in the book of Revelation, where it says in chapter 14, where the Bible says, "I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and one sat on it like the Son of Man. And He was told to thrust in His sickle." And in verse 20 it says, "And the winepress was trodden outside the city." That's talking about Armageddon. And so we see Him bringing down the wrath of God. And He's taking the nations that have arrived at the door of Israel to wipe them out once and for all. And He brings them to an end. And the Bible goes on to say, "He treads the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." What that really does at this point is it's just saying, y'all are done. Okay, you're done. I'm literally taking away all of your credibility, all of your power, all of your opulence, all of the luxuries. When everybody else has been suffering, you've been living large, I'm taking it all right now. King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Every master will be brought to this, the one true master, the one with all the diadems. And the Bible says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun," verse 17, "and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God." Understand, the supper of the great God. What is that? Well, He says it in verse 18. "You will eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and the flesh of them that sit on them." Now, understand, when He's talking about all this, He's talking about a real serious day, right? The Bible talked about it back in the earlier chapters about the blood would flow to the bridles of the horses. That doesn't mean it's going to be like a stream. It means there's going to be such a mayhem and a mess between them melting as they're standing there fighting. You know, they're ready to fight, but then they begin to dissolve because He speaks the word and everything comes unglued. You know, the Bible says He upholds all things by the word of His power. He says, "I'm going to not uphold you anymore." Melting, that's what's going to happen. In the eye sockets, the eyes are going to melt. In the coals of the mouth, the tongues are going to dissolve. The Bible says in real time, this is what's going to be. The way that those who stand against His people must perish. Their swords are also going to be set against each other. If I don't get to it, it's in Zechariah chapter 14. The Bible says in verse 18 that you may eat all this flesh. They're the cleanup crew. That's the supper of the great God. That's the cleanup crew. Wouldn't it be terrible? We get this all back and all of them. It's kind of messy out there. No, don't have to worry about that. Got this covered. The critters not going to take care of that for us. The Bible says in verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together. Remember the beast? That's the Antichrist. He's like the antithesis of Jesus. He comes as an angel of light. He says, I'm your Savior. I can fix everything. And then the next thing you know, the Bible says that I saw the beast and the kings of the earth that got behind the beast and their armies. So they're all at Armageddon, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, you got to understand the fact that they're there to make war against Jesus doesn't mean that's why they gathered. It's why God had them gather. This is the Lord's purpose. The kings of the east are coming and they're trying to take down the Antichrist. They don't want to come to heel. The Antichrist doesn't get full dominion. He takes control, has more power than anybody, but there's still upheavals. If you read back in Daniel, you'll find kings of the east are coming. And when they come, it's going to be at that time when Jesus breaks the sky. And then the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. So all the nations are here. They aim their guns at God and he speaks the word and they melt. And he's also throwing down 100-pound hailstones. Okay, so it's a bad day for them. The Bible says that they're coming to make war against he that sat on the horse and against his army. And the Bible says in verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. Put a star by that verse because this is the only place that the words false prophet are used. When we saw the beast come up out of the land, he looked like a lamb with a horn and spoke like a dragon. This is the only place he called a false prophet, the one who does miracles before the Antichrist. He is only called the false prophet here. But the Bible says the beast and the false prophet were both cast alive. That's what I would say. The beast and the false prophet were taken, and they were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. I just think that's just pretty much a lock that you can conclude. These two went deeper in hell than anybody. Even more deeply than the Pharisees. You will receive the greater damnation. You were religious. You were reader of the scriptures. You didn't practice it. You led other people not to practice it. You made it odious to the world. My people don't even know who I am because you're over here challenging me. You're going to get a greater damnation. These two fellas right here are going even deeper than they. Hell does have levels of judgment. And these guys are going in. They don't even go to the great white throne judgment. They're just completely rotten down in their core. Now, they don't come across like that. The one looks like a lamb. The other guy, what's he doing? He's Antichrist. He's looking like Jesus. He's a minister of light. But their wickedness knows no bounds. Verse 21 says, and the remnant were slain. You might circle the word remnant here, put maybe an exclamation point, because this is the first time the remnant is used in regard to the lost people of the earth. Usually the remnant is the Christians. Usually the remnant are believers. But the remnant were slain. Because whatever was left over after this battle were slain. With the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Which sword proceeds out of his mouth. And the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the battle of Armageddon. That's the coming of Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter that there were false prophets in those days in the Old Testament. And it says, and there will be false teachers among you, which privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. If you would believe that Jesus does not have a future for the Israelites, that is a denial of Jesus. It's denying him, just like a guy taking a shot on a basketball court and some guy knocking it away. He says, no, denied, denied, denied. You're denying Jesus his glory. He will never fail. Tribulation is all about getting Israel back in the fold. It will be a remnant. They will be saved. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Israel will be saved. Albeit a remnant, but Israel is back in the land and God is ready to save them. This is 70-year anniversary. The year of Jubilee was when we were in Israel in 2018. We got to go before all the nonsense broke loose. But that was 70 years. These numbers mean something. We're on overtime now. God's not willing any should perish. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some people think. And you know, I got people at work this past week. I had like six people I was witnessing to because they're all thinking, what's going on? Vaccine passports, paying people, compelling people, you know, shutting down businesses, the government taking over, all this stuff. They're lost and they're saying, what's going on? One guy said, well, I'm a Catholic, you know, and I'm a believer. I've been a Catholic. And when I talked to him further, he pretty much said, I don't go to church anymore. Why? Church is God's idea, but don't go to that church. Got to share Jesus with him, give him a tract. And he's got to go home and tell his daughter about it. because she says he's worried about his 12-year-old daughter. She just thinks it's crazy that maybe Jesus could come back soon. Listen, the world is out there looking for you. They're looking for you to say it. They're looking for you to say something to them. Give the testimony. Testify of Jesus. And you will be able to get the lift you need for day-to-day life. The Bible says that they will deny the Lord, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And through covetousness, they're going to make merchandise of you. People are going to follow them because of covetousness. Oh, I want my mortgage paid off. I want my new car. Man, I want a great life now. That's what it says. People will love them. The Bible says that judgment, their judgment, now a long time, listen, lingereth not. And their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, God's already made them go dark. Can you imagine being a false prophet all your life, and at first you knew you were turning left and turning right and making a game of this thing? You were gaming religion. Now you're old, and you don't even feel a thing anymore. You're already damned. Isn't that crazy to think about? These false teachers that are on TV. This one fellow, he's on there, he's been around forever. He is just a mess. And what he's done is he actually rebuked COVID. He rebuked COVID. My point is we're living in a really crazy time of people getting behind people like that. Many will follow their pernicious ways, but this is what I want to end with. The Bible says that God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down into darkness and into hell and delivered them into chains. He didn't spare the old world, but he did only save Noah and the eighth person. And he didn't save Sodom and Gomorrah, even though there was a few people in there. He brought them out and wiped it out. And he says, you need to know this, that when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Do you feel that? They're turning boys into girls and girls into boys. Do you feel that vexing? I mean, this is a crazy town, right? This is new, okay? This has not ever been seen before on a global scale, and everybody's applauding it and saying, what? What? Like somebody, you know, is crazy, and they're just like, what? I didn't do anything. Well, the Bible says he delivered just Lot, who vexed himself with a filthy conversation. And then it gives a parenthesis. It says, for that righteous man Lot, dwelling in the midst of them, and seeing and hearing them, vexed his righteous soul from day to day, with their unlawful deeds. The word vexed on the second occasion means that he was being tested. How did he do? You got a list, right? First thing he did, pretty good. He says, you know, you guys don't want to sleep out here. Come to my house. He stepped up and he was all askew. He was a mess. But he said, don't take these men when they pounded on the door. And said, bring those men out that we may know them. Kind of stumbled when he said, take my daughters. Okay. He was messed up because it got on him. But he knew. And he was being tested. And here, listen. The word is basanismos. And the word literally means like hitting a strike stone on some gold to find out whether it's pure or not. You're being tested. The compromises you make will be revealed. But you have to understand that you could have stayed out of the city. Just like Abraham did. You could have avoided that whole thing in the first place, not had all the casualties, not all the pangs. The vexing in the first time is just tormenting and torture. This one, this is testing. And why God tested him this way and allowed him to go there, you know why? It's so you'll know that no matter how bad it looks around you and how much you've compromised, you can remember Jesus still loves you. And you can get out of the pig pen and you can rise and go to your Father, and he will make you not as one of his servants, but he will restore you as a son. Isn't that good to know? You ever heard that about a Lot? He's bad. Yeah, he's bad. He has, but God used him to show you and me the love of Jesus never, ever fails. Oh, what a Savior. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.